We are in Advent this morning. Means we take some time in this month to back up and to think through and to be struck again by the wonder of Jesus Christ for us. But today it's about peace. And I titled this Peace for the Wicked. I hope that doesn't make you say, oh yeah, for sure. Wait a minute. Could that actually be true? What does that mean? So I want to start like this. We've got a dog. I'm not a dog person. Well, I wasn't a dog person till we got our dog, Mocha. She's amazing. She's a mix of like a poodle and a golden retriever, I think. And she's got it made too, you know. She gets like meals every day. She lies on the couch. We weren't supposed to let the dogs lie on the couch, but she sleeps on our bed sometimes. Like, what's going on here? It's like she's got it made. She gets walked several times a day by my wife usually. But you know what? If she gets a cut, you ever seen this with dogs? She's a dog. She gets a little cut in a place she can reach it on her side. And all of a sudden, she goes to town. She licks it, right? Over. Oh, it's like she perseverates on it. She's got to clean it. She cleans it. Pretty soon, if you let that go, she'll start taking the hair out, right? Pretty soon, it's this open wound on her side, and she keeps licking it. You got to come in and stop her, because she gets so focused on the one thing that's bugging her. I feel like so often we're kind of like dogs. There's so many things in our lives that aren't quite right, and you know what we tend to do? We tend to like get in there and go, "That's I got to work on that. I got to get that one done." Like there are things going on in my life that take over. And particularly that becomes important when we talk about peace. Peace. We're talking about the Prince of Peace. We're talking about having peace in your life, about what it means that we have peace. And you say, Dax, that's fine. I get the idea that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that he came, that he saved me. But you do realize I'm dying a death by 1,000 cuts. It's not just one cut I've got on my side. I've got all over and everywhere you look, there's something going wrong. You know, my health is failing. Have you seen what's happening politically? Do you understand all the things that are happening financially in my life? And you start going down this route where you understand with your head kind of what peace is and the peace that we ought to have, but we don't actually get it. So when we say the peace, and peace is a state of harmony, that's biblical peace, shalom, right relationships, especially with God. That we have this steady assurance in our own hearts all the time of good for us, God's doing. Do you have it? Why is it so important at Christmas time that we back up and we kind of say, yes, peace is one of those things. Usually what we say is, man, I'm working on it. I'm trying to grab hold of it. I'm striving to attain peace. I want validation. I have good relationships, harmony, and health. It is well with my soul. I wish I could sing it with the guy who's on the ocean liner who lost his family. But I don't know. What's the deal? This is a very true thing, and I hope to open your eyes this morning again to the wonder and the joy and the receiving of peace. But it's got to start this way. This is the way. No peace for you. This is the path to peace. Is the reality of no peace for you. What do you mean? That doesn't sound very good. Now, I don't think it's too much to say we long for it. It's not too much to say we understand kind of what it ought to be. Right relationships, right life, just a rightness about us that we deeply know and we don't always feel it. It's not a feeling, but it's this settledness, right? But then I've got conflict. I've got areas that hurt. I'm trying, and what I think I need to do is to make sure that I get it right so that I can get the peace. If I make the right choices, you know, in whatever treatment I'm doing for my health, if I make the right effort in whatever I'm doing financially, if I make the right moves so that my relationships are handled and you know, my kids love me enough, then it's going to be okay. So I just want to introduce you to a statement that occurs several times in the Bible. It's not just one place, but I'll just put one place up, and it says this. There is no place, peace. There is no peace, says Yahweh, for the wicked. Well, I get that. That's why I'm here, Dax. I want to get good. I want to get disciplined. I want to get focused. I want to get serious about the commands of God so that it will go well with me. Yeah. But the testimony of the Bible is that this is the verse that applies to you. Right? You don't get harmony, shalom, rightness, goodness, peace. There is no peace, it says in another place, says my God, for the wicked. That's you, right? Well, no, that's not me. I'm a good person. It's talking about Joe down the street. Really? So you read this morning, and you read it with me in Jeremiah. This is the ESV. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And it goes on to say, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Okay, walk with me in that for a minute. Because I don't think we escape it. The Lord looks not just at you and the things you do externally. He looks at your heart. And then he leads with the statement, and that's coming out of what we read, right? It's coming out of this man, cursed is the man who trusts in his own flesh and is working on himself and doing, but blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. And man, and then it says, first I skipped something. The heart is deceitful and wicked. I, the Lord, take a look, and I judge according to what I see. But you just told me it's desperately wicked. Sick, it says in the ESV, but the word's wicked. Right? That this idea, he's judging everyone according to the fruit of their deeds and their ways, and the statement that he's leading with is that you're already gone, it's already too late, you're already wicked. And so when the Bible says there's no peace for the wicked, it means you. Say, well, it means you too, Dax. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and the New Testament's the same, right? We know these verses, but let me refresh from Romans. Here's Romans, as it is written, chapter 3, verse 10. There's none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Who is this no one person? He's all of us, right? Do you want to know why there's no peace? Because everyone is wicked. That's not a general statement. It's a specific statement about you. And people say, your efforts of being a good person, your sort of relative goodness versus that criminal over there, God will reward that, you know. He will heal and bring you peace because you're being a good kid. When we're actually, what we're doing then is preaching to ourselves a message about being good to get peace. And it's too late, the Bible says. This is a big deal. This is a huge way of thinking. It changes my mind about things, right? What people do is say, hey, these are three steps that your relationships will go better, and then here's three ways you can be a better worker. Here's the thing, and then you'll get peace, you know. This is along the lines of Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. You have to, I'm going hard at this, I know, and hopefully you're, man, that's, what a great Christmas sermon, Dax. Because you have to start to understand that this is the reality. That when people come along and say, yeah, with these sort of extra steps that you can take and these good things, then you'll get peace. Your efforts to keep the law, your ways that God says, even in the Old Testament, if you would just have listened to my commandments and done them, you would have peace. That is so true. And so people say, well, okay, listen to the commands of God and do them. What's the problem? You don't. You don't. We say they're beautiful and true, they are, but we don't do them. So because we don't do them, when someone comes, well, you know, if you just do this, you'd have peace. That's this. Man, peace, peace. God's so happy that you're trying to do a few laws. No, you're not even doing them. You're acting like you're doing them, but you do realize God's looking at your heart. Big deal. Like the U.S. soccer game. Do you guys see the U.S. soccer game? I grew up playing soccer. I really like it. So it was really fun. I got up early. Danny didn't hear me leave. I snuck down to turn on the TV and found a way to watch the game, and it was super fun. Oh, man, they hung with them. They did really good. They were doing really fantastic. You know, they only really missed three times the same sort of play. There's this guy ran across the middle right in front of the goal box, and they didn't mark him. That's just a small, it was the captain the first time. He's awesome. He's so good. He's so much better than I'll ever be. And so watch him, but he just didn't follow him across, and that was the very time that they centered it in and scored a goal. They did it three times. Same sort of play. But they did so well. They worked so hard. They did all, yeah, but they lost. Right? They lost. At the end of the day, they're going home. It's not about, oh man, they did a great job running up and down the wing. They got several opportunities to score themselves. They even scored one goal. It's like, all that stuff's great. But you realize they lost. They're going home. That's the bottom. And it is with us, right? There is no peace for the wicked. You're wicked. You don't get peace. But I tried over here, Dad. I get it. But I did this over here. I got it. But you're going home. There's no peace for the wicked. That's the statement of God, evaluating the law for you. It's not relative. We remain caught in this partial goodness and misunderstanding, poverty of mind, like those looking across a chasm at a beautiful green field dwelling in a dusty desert. I'm cursed. Why? Because I put my faith in me. We think blessed is the man who obeys the law, who obeys the Lord, who is good and righteous and true. That man or woman would have peace. The problem is that person is not you. That's the problem. The best we can do is along the lines of Solomon. Right? Solomon is amazing. Wisest man ever. He wrote several books of the Bible. The one that I'm kind of referencing is Ecclesiastes. He basically says, just live your life. Do the best you can. And I know he didn't have peace because he had like 1,000 wives, 700 concubines, whatever it was, you know. That's no diss on that. I'm just saying that many relationships. I mean, come on. There's no peace for the wicked. That's why Advent is so needed and so important. This is why we actually pause and rejoice this morning, because God's plan is Christmas. God's plan is Advent. Advent is the coming of peace into the world. The world that's wicked, the world that we live in, the world that we're a part of, and when it says the world, it means us. Advent is the coming of peace. So let's talk about that for a minute. The advent of peace. The real coming in of peace. I mean, do you understand what Christmas is? God became human, was born as a baby, and all of the Old Testament is pointing to this, Jesus Christ, Messiah, Savior. From the outside, not the people in the world becoming good and getting peace, but peace came. I mean, that's what the heavenly host was announcing, right? There on the field to the shepherds, that the angels appeared. What did they say? Do you remember what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he's pleased. So it used to be no peace for the wicked is what I have in my head. I know the Old Testament's there. And yet here comes this announcement of peace to these people on the field. Oh, well, maybe they're not the wicked. Yeah, they are just as wicked as everybody else. But they get this announcement about the pleasure of God. This idea of peace is a huge one. It's foreshadowed, right? It's all the way through. And you just, so many times. Remember Simeon in the temple? Old Simeon, and He'd lived his whole life waiting for the Savior to come. And when he sees Jesus, when he's brought in there, he says this. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Why? According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Okay, wait. Has his eyes seen justice? Has his eyes seen righteousness established? Has he finished lots of good works? Has he accomplished something? No, his eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation prepared in the presence of everyone. Here it is. This is peace. Super important. The statement of God at work, regardless of anyone's opinion, God is at work. Simeon's not at work. Simeon's not establishing anything. He's just been waiting. The peace that he saw was Jesus, and Jesus himself says that peace, wellness, rightness, settled assurance of God for you is a gift from him. Right? The Prince of Peace, he's called that way back in Isaiah. The Prince of Peace came to redeem and restore and forgive. And he brings this right relationship with God, not in ourselves, not in our sin-free lives, not in our suddenly becoming not wicked. We're still in the flesh. We still die. Why do we die? Because of our sin. That's Romans 5. We still have trouble in the world, but now we know deep in our hearts that we have shalom. A gift from God. Peace with God in Christ. That's literally what Jesus says, right? He says in John 16 to his disciples, I've said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. I can only start to be like, oh, when I realize how undeserved it is. I realize how I don't even deserve a tiny touch of it. Because after Jesus lives and dies and he rises from the dead, that's what he brings. That's what he says he's showing up with. Why, what? Well, there in John 20, you remember John 20? When Jesus, after he rises from the dead, and he comes through the walls to talk to his disciples. Thomas isn't there, so he's going to talk to Thomas separately, but he's going to say the same thing. What does he say? Look, here it is. In John 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that's Jesus risen from the dead. The doors being locked, they're hiding. The disciples are there for fear of the Jews. They don't have peace. Jesus came and he stood among them and he said to them, peace be with you. And in case you didn't get it, you can go read it yourself. Just a few verses later, he says this, peace be with you. And then because Thomas wasn't there, Thomas says, well, I'll believe it when I see his hands and his feet and I'll see the marks. He shows up and what did he say to Thomas? Take a guess. Peace be with you. It's like Jesus has to say it over and over because you don't get it. Peace is what Jesus brings. Peace. Radically cool. Peace is a direct and equal sign to receiving the gift of Jesus. If you don't receive the gift, you have no peace, you remain in your wickedness. But in Christ, when we receive this gift, that's what we're receiving is peace. The New Testament fleshes this out as well in other places. Here's Paul or Luke in Acts 10, for example. Here's Acts 10. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news. What good news? Peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Right? They're preaching Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's what Christmas is, peace through Jesus. That means not through you. Ephesians chapter 2, here's another example. And he came, Paul writes, and preached peace to those who were far off, that's the Gentiles, you and me, and peace to those who were near. Everybody gets what? Peace. What, doesn't it matter anymore? How far away you were. What's the distance piece? That's how obedient you are to the law. That's how much you see and are in the community of God. All those things that we try and rank and see, and we try to measure distances like a radius from an atom and say, oh, I'm far, far away and you're a little far. No, they're all brought in. How can that happen? Jesus. Jesus did that. Amazing, right? Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, oh, this is what it is. This is the receiving of the gift. We have peace with God through our obedience, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for us. This is the reality of Christmas. This is why we're amazed, is because it's no longer about our sin. It's no longer about our incomplete obedience. It's no longer about how much we do. It's about Jesus and what he's done, and he establishes peace. Amazing. Wonderful. Fabulous. It's possible you can nod your head but not be experiencing it, though. Don't you think? I mean, you can see your life all torn up. You can think, well, I don't really have peace. This is the wonder, though, the reality. You do. You can be like my little golden doodle. You can be loved and taken care of, but you're focused on the wound on the side and looking at it and thinking, I got this huge problem. I can't. But we're not dogs. You can turn your head. You can say, wait a minute. Everything I have is surrounded by every breath that I take is the wonder of Jesus for me. In spite of me, even when I don't feel it, peace on earth and midst of despite wickedness, no more is there no peace for the wicked. There's great news of peace for the wicked in Christ. The very worst of people are those who killed Jesus. Those who abandoned Jesus as he was going to the cross. Those were the disciples. And Jesus says, my peace is for you. Peace, peace, peace. So let me do one more small thing and talk about what does that look like in life? You get this peace of saying, okay, this is about peace for the wicked. It's not about peace for the good. It's about the wonder of God for us, community. Do you understand what Christmas is? God became human and is born as a baby. I get it. Peace is a gift from God. He promises you peace in Christ. He brings it to you. Peace is his plan because Jesus came to earth as a babe. And you accept that and it's going to guard your life. That means you're not in charge of making sure that it happens. How can I say that? Because the Bible does. The peace of God, Paul writes in Philippians 4, which surpasses all understanding, you don't even understand it, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What do you think about that statement with me? And when you look at it and consider it for your own life, consider this. It is not anything you do. There's nothing to do in Philippians 4:7. It's a statement of fact. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I don't understand it. I don't even know how it works. But it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's something that God does, not you. That's got to be what's going on. How does it guard your mind and your heart? I believe by replacing the truth that you tell yourself that your peace is up to you. That we who are Christ turn from self-righteousness, self-salvation, making it about all the plans we're going to get to, and turn and said, you know what, Lord? You've got me. You have me. It's what a lot of people mean when they say sovereignty, but it's sovereignty on this personal level, not this big, like, oh, yeah, God's kind of in charge of the big movements of the world and the whole thing, so whatever. No, it's for me. My God loves me. My God loves you. I know it. Why? Because he's declared it in Christ. And he's got you. This is the replacing the story that you tell yourself with your eyes that there is no peace. Because I'll tell you, if you have eyes, you can go there in a heartbeat. There is no peace. You look at yourself and your life. You look at the life around us. You look at how the wickedness of the world remains. And it's here and we are part of it. We slide into it. We sin too. And if you don't have this mindset of, yeah, there's no peace for the wicked until Jesus came and now the wicked can have peace, receive this gift, will you? Forgiveness of sins, full and free in Christ. Righteousness in his name. This is what needs to be brought to bear to remind yourself and other people. Every single person that you meet, will they trust this Jesus? Not a political party. Not a movement. Not even a community. A person, Jesus. You're going to have to fight your flesh. And it says peace is for the non-wicked. And so I want people justly who have been wicked to get to bear the consequence of it forever. And when I'm doing that, I got four fingers pointing back at me. So, and there's actual life. It brings amazing passages to bear in your life that are true simply by trusting Jesus. Here's one of them in Isaiah. I don't know if you know this passage. The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. Again, I'm this is what I want to do. I'm saying, okay, I'll get right on that. I'll start working on quietness and trust. I'll start working on peace. No. The effect of righteousness, that's the effect of Jesus Christ's righteousness for you. You start to see things. Oh, it's going to be peace. I have peace. It's something that God in the Spirit, you know what? Actually, it's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Peace. I don't know if I kept it. Yeah. I mean, that passage here, you can go read Isaiah 32, but it's, my people will abide in peaceful habitation and secure dwellings in quiet resting places. It's a promise of what's coming, and God's promises come true. They do. Or here's Isaiah 55. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It's this picture of just, oh, I want to be there. I want to be in the crowd of people who are being going out in joy, being led forth in peace. And you know what? Again, it's being done to me. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Again, I have to go there if you... Because I'll tell you what I'm so prone to do with verses like this. Oh, well, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I don't feel like I'm in perfect peace, so therefore my mind must not be stayed on God. I just have to work harder at getting my mind stayed on God, and then I'll have more peace. No, that's the opposite of what he's saying. You who have Christ, he is your peace. He's in charge of bringing it in. You don't have it. You say, oh, Lord, I'm not feeling peace. I get it, but I have peace, I know, because of your promise. It's not a thing about if you work at it, you'll get it. You can't. It's not available to you. This is not going to stop the world from burning. The world's burning now. I keep thinking Jesus is going to come back every day. This is not a prophecy update. I have no inside knowledge. I just know you look around and say, wow, things are so bad. Seems like he would have come back last month. But he hasn't. And the world feels like it's burning, and it is. There's a lot of wickedness, and God's not saying, oh, I'm going to clean up all the wickedness right now. No, he's not saying. He's saying, in the midst of it, I give you peace. Right? That's what Jesus, I didn't give you the full thing, in John 16, right? He says, I said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Look what he marries that to and what he's talking about. But in the world you will have tribulation. Wait, that's not peace. Yeah, it is. This world is burning, but in me you have peace, and he has overcome the world. That means when you fall down and cry out and don't realize that he's your peace, when you make it about you and say, oh, boy, I don't have peace. But actually, no, you have received Christ. You've taken communion. You've been baptized. You actually stand in the reality of Jesus Christ for you. But you are weak, and you've got tribulation, and you've got things not going well. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know what the world includes? Your flesh, your inability. Jesus is stronger. So what about all the difficult things that happen to me? Aren't they evidence of no peace? Not at all, right? Whole different interpretation. If in the world you'll have tribulation. We're dying. Our flesh is struggling with it. There's no peace in that. There's, you know, everybody in here is going to die. Okay, I get it. Not if Jesus comes back tomorrow. Fine, but the reality is function will go down. You won't be functioning as you will. There are things that will happen to you that are hard and tribulation, but underneath it, peace, righteousness is yours because he says so. These voices, these words, your own flesh says otherwise, wanting desperately to take away your experience of peace. So come back, see the manger, see the child, see Jesus for you. In fact, he does it all. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? It is. Look what else Isaiah says. Oh, Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. Everything that you'd ever do, he's done in Christ. The way to peace is trusting that he's indeed done everything, not you, not just some heavenly potential life, but even for life now, he's got us. And if you will see this peace forever outside of you by promise, The meaning of Christmas, he is your peace. It allows assurance. It allows seeing amazing things that you can enjoy right now. You can get your eyes off the wound for a minute. And the love that is for you in Christ that is true. So may we today stop interpreting favor through personal obedience. Don't accept people pushing on sort of your flesh being improved as a mark of God's favor. They're saying peace, peace to their people lightly. There's no pathway there because you're going to fall eventually, and then your peace will go because you've built it on how well you're doing. Don't navel gaze. Keep it on Jesus. He is your peace. And come back to here. You're wicked. So how can you say that? Because it's the only way to peace. I'm wicked and undeserving. And here comes God to the wicked. Here comes God to all the wicked. And he says, will you have my son? That's going to be the ground, right? Do you trust Jesus? Do you actually say, yes, that's my hope. My hope is not in me. No, I was righteous to do what I did. You don't understand my circumstances, God. All these bad people around me, and I did the best I could. The heart is desperately wicked. You will be judged. So he said, no, that's not me. I haven't done all I could do. I have fallen down. I have not accomplished. And my only hope is actually God came to earth for me. He did all he could. He did it all. He went to the cross for me. Christianity is not a through line, you know, like God saved you so you'll be a good worker. You're not a good enough worker for that to be the case. God saved you because he loves you. And he establishes peace. This incredible wonder of peace. Sin no longer keeps you from God ever. This is the freedom that Christmas brings because we sin over and over. But not in Christ because we're forgiven. So you say, well, you're diminishing justice, Dax. Fight for peace. Peace is right living. You got to get away from the evil people. You have to make a better society. We've got to do all these things. That's okay. We're confusing what peace is. Go do the law. Try hard. It's beautiful. But you got to see the imperfections in every part of it, especially the people who are doing it. That's not where you want to be. If your actions determine your peace, you're on trial. Are you good enough? The answer is always going to be no. But if your whole action is to accept what the word says, that he is our peace, then our perspective is on trusting what he says is true, and then we have confidence, even as we help our neighbor, even as we do things that are good. It's not the ground is underneath where Jesus Christ has paid it all. Our peace is Christ, who has broken down every wall. Peace because of the baby born in Bethlehem. He is our peace forever and ever. Merry Christmas. From God to you. So would you take in today the declaration of heaven, crying out over all who will hear, on earth, peace among people with whom he is pleased. Pleased to come, pleased to die, pleased to save. May your Christmas be blessed with the coming of peace every single day. May we end with Romans end. May the God of peace be with you all. I know a God who came to be with us all. His name is God with us, Emmanuel. He is our peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonder of this Advent season, where we step back and consider the wonder of peace for us. And Lord, we who are gathered here, what a special gathering we get to have to worship you. Not as those who are strong and well put together, but those who are wicked, but redeemed. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for the new relationship we get to have in your Son. Thank you for the promise that sin will be no more. Thank you for resurrection life. But Lord, in the midst of it, as these things assail us, and Lord, we have many tribulations. I know so many, even in this room. Lord, that you would allow us to see that we have peace in the midst because you're for us. Lord, we love you, not as much as you love us. We praise your name this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen.